SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Tuesday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online, as you had to do yesterday on the stream side, and I didn't even think to ask, are we okay on the stream? Did the streaming company straighten their issue out? I forgot to ask. Stream's good, nice. Sorry about yesterday. The stream company, and I think we. Surprise them. They had a server issue. So if you missed anything from yesterday, and if you did, actually, you missed a fair amount. Jerry Hollendorfer and Ben Colebrook and Don Little Jr., Jay Pribman and John White. And we actually went over a number of horses with, you know, beyond the stake winners with Ben and Jerry and Don Little Jr. What a fun visit, actually. I'm really glad. I'm not glad that Jimmy Jerkins had a tooth pulled. Don't go running to Jimmy. Jimmy, Bick said he's happy that your jaw is the size of a softball. It gave me the idea, knowing that Jimmy was going to be, inaccessible for the day, and probably for a couple of days. I thought, you know what, let's reach out for Centennial's Don Little Jr., and that was really fun. Got a little history. We talked about some of the real stalwarts in Centennial's successful tenure. And I will not forget, and I'm sure many of you won't forget, that was down at Gulfstream for that eventful Fountain of Youth. Corinthian. He was a maniac. There was always something, that was in the midst of happening whenever Corinthian was going to run. You could count on an incident or three. And I think it was down. I know, in fact, I was down there kind of rooting for Lansden Robbins and at the time and Bruce Lunsford with First Samurai. Yeah, so that was if you haven't seen it, that's nice incident at about, I guess it was, what was it, at the 16th pole, give or take? I should go back and I'll find a link to that. If you haven't seen it, I think you'll be entertained. So that was really fun. And we also mentioned, the horses that he's got, that are on their way. And that includes the one start runner, Mints, on Thursday, 8-1. And this was a horse that was cut out to be okay, and they paid $320 as a yearling. And it was just so funny yesterday. With every single point of call yesterday with Don Little, there was some tie to what's going on. We had obviously talked to Jay Pribman minutes before Don joined us, and Mike Abraham, who bred Accelerate, he bred this horse, Mints, and then there we mentioned First Samurai. There's John Gunther. So it just shows you that success breeds success. You get a mare and you find a formula, but you got to keep it fresh. And we'll discuss that tomorrow with Sid. In fact, longevity and timing is perfect, actually, because the sale yesterday, the distribution of mares, And things continue again this morning at 10. Jessica Martini will join us after the first break, and we'll get, you know, the day one recap and notebook. And, of course, the fireworks. The fireworks were exceptional. Abel Tasman, as anticipated, you know, certainly I think there was the expectation that, you know, you were going to get a very nice seven-figure number. But a record $5 million. Coolmore is going to bring her home and, or keep her here, and breed her. And Abel Tasman, we'll see what, obviously with the roster at the roster at Coolmore, you know, be interesting. But this was, you know, this was, yeah, I think as good or better than anticipated. So we'll get Jessica's take. Some of the other names, and you know, yesterday Jane Lyon's name came up. She bought the second highest priced broodmare, A Star Is Born. And she's in foal to Warfront, so, you know, the number one, she's fairly young, 9 years old, Galileo, and she's already got production. She's already got European stakes produced type, and I suppose if Star Is Born had done better on Sunday night in the Golden Globes, maybe the price would have been higher. I'm sorry, I had to do a tie-in of some kind, right? A Star Is Born did better at Keeneland yesterday than in Hollywood on Saturday. Jane Lyon bought A Star Is Born, and she gets the Warfront baby as well. So, you know, this was a one of those two for ones, because who knows what, you know, what the Warfront baby long term could pay for the mare. Fatal Beret, $700,000 to Shade Farm, and once again a reminder that the international marketplace, they do buy our bloodstock. So Fatal Beret, $700,000. Spendthrift got the next. Then things drop down, $350,000 for Scent of Summer, the 7-year-old Rock Hard 10 that is in foal to Union Rags. That was the next one. Then when it came to the yearlings, a few $300,000 types, and Clear Sky, a pretty active Clear Sky bred. The top colt, $375,000 for the Into Mischief out of Mary Rita, consigned by TaylorMade and bought by Artfield Bloodstock. American Pharaoh, Brady Bloodstock, went to $330,000 for the Hirstland and Cartosian bred American Pharaoh, $330,000. There was also the Warfront that went to Nick Demerick, $300,000 Frosted Philly too. So Frosted with some early, putting up some early numbers, and we'll see what we can glean from Jessica later. And there were also, did they sell the, there were, I don't know if it was yesterday, did they sell the, there were a couple of stallion types, right? B and Daddy and the Funny Bone, did they sell yesterday? We'll check with Jessica. All right, so day one of four for the January sale. The January sale kicks off the sale season. Later, Andy Serling, hour two. We'll talk to Andy and catch up on New York. We didn't get with Andy at the end of the year because they, of course, Naira had the week off. A little bit of the holiday, the holiday season break. And I haven't had a chance to. There's a whole bunch of things I got to catch up on. The piece that Bob Ehalt wrote at thoroughbredracing.com, Ehalt with an extensive discussion piece about the summer schedule at Saratoga, and he obviously had some discussions with Naira personnel, and it was kind of a hybrid. It was kind of a hybrid piece, actually. Should really get Bob on to flesh it out, because really, it's not anything. I rarely discuss that kind of thing with Andy, but if you didn't see Bob Ehalt's piece, Ehalt's basically he was kind of making the case and talking about the merits of the 40 days spread out over 8 weeks. And I personally can just only go by the kinds of comments I've heard from Jay Pribman, for instance. Jay has said repeatedly that once Delmar made that move, nobody could believe, everybody said the same thing. They were like, how did we do 6 days a week? How did we even, everybody's, beaten down and everybody's tongues are hanging out. And yes, it means an extra 8 days, give or take, nine, whatever it is, however it'll flesh out on the calendar. But, and people are like, oh, it will be too much of a good thing. What are you talking about? It's the same amount of a good thing. It's still 40 days spread out over 8 weeks. And there's logistic issues, whether everybody would, everybody's as willing. I mean, you leave your house if you rent your house out. Also recognize that there's more property being developed in the area than, it just doesn't stop. So there is options. And for personnel, yeah, it's a strain to go upstate if you live downstate and you have to come up. But I can tell you the barn personnel, they love being up here. They love being at Saratoga. They look forward to it. So, for the most part, I would say the majority. So, that storyline, and of course, there was no calendar because there was no firm dates on what lays out. So, I think that is coming to a head sooner than later in New York. We'll reach out to Bob Ehalt. Let's take a break here. Jessica Martini, she'll tell you what went on at the sales. David Fox and Joe Bravo, guess what they're doing on this Tuesday? They're out on a boat. They're fishing. We'll talk to them later.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
Track are you on? University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I'm talking people about the same old game. They're running them numbers and the winners have a shame.
We're back at the races, a little past 15, into Tuesday, and we'll talk to Jessica Martini in a minute. I got to pass on a very sad piece of news that I assume, for those of you that follow on Twitter, and saw on Saturday, late Saturday, Alex Waldrop and the NTRA team had gotten word that John Rowe had passed at the age of 60, and last February, and I'm sure we'll pay tribute to him at the NHC in a few weeks. John's story was unbelievable. Fighting cancer, liver cancer, and dealing with the death of his son. And he put in a brilliant run, just a brilliant run at the NHC to make the final table, ultimately finishing ninth. And it was so inspiring. Talked to him days later, once he had gotten back to Chicago and had a chance to, kind of absorb and decompress from the NHC experience. It was cathartic for him. And as he said at the time, the biggest thrill of his life, other than, his marriage and his, and the birth of his children, truck driver and, the kind of person that everybody, I imagine, I know that the table, the guys that were at the table were just astounded by, his focus and inner strength that he needed to marshal to, be successful at the contest. It'll it'll be part of the NHC lore. So John Rowan, hearts go out to the family, and I'm sure there'll be a tribute, appropriate tribute in Vegas when we get there. I put the link up. We had a 45-minute visit, and a number of people have listened and went back and listened to it again, and were really moved. And you will be too. I'll put the link up again. And in fact, you know what? We'll probably run. We'll maybe run that when we get a chance to. It's probably a smart. I think that'd be a good move. People should hear it again. We'll turn our attention to some of the results from yesterday, and second day is upon us, about 40 minutes away. They'll start the second session at the Keeneland January sale, and Jessica Martini going to join us from Thoroughbred Daily News. And Jessica, good morning. Happy New Year.
Good morning, Steve. How you doing?
Excellent, excellent. Hope you had a nice holiday season. And you know, when you're in the bloodstock reporting trade, you don't have too much time to to bask in the afterglow of New Year's. This sale always, you know, is a front and center in January.
Yeah, it comes around quickly. It's almost sort of a continuation of the November sale. You almost sometimes feel you haven't left.
That's a fair point. And what's interesting on this sale is you know, all the different things, kind of all the different themes come together. We've got all kinds of young horses that are going to go through. You've got mares in foal. You've got, you know, the hybrid broodmare prospect or racing prospects. And when you've got a horse like Abel Tasman included, it generally is going to be the engine on the train. But in terms of a firework display, this was about as good as it could possibly have gotten.
I'm sure the Keeneland folks were very happy when they entered that filly in the sale. Yes, she was definitely always going to be the star of the show, and she did not disappoint yesterday. It was an incredible experience to be in the pavilion. Whenever one of these big horses is about to come in, it's funny because, you know, you're just kind of in the press box looking at the computer, normal day at the office, and then suddenly you look up and there's more and more and more people, and they just keep coming in, and there's a definite buzz in the pavilion when one of these big horses comes in. It's a great experience to watch, and she definitely did not disappoint. The pavilion was packed. You know, that first bid was $3 million, and they were off. It was a pretty incredible experience.
The principals were all there, including the original breeder and original partners when it comes to Clear Sky. Who was interested in, and obviously Coolmore ends up with her, but who else was involved?
I think I heard off the record that there were some of the major partners that we've heard of before had, you know, some of the major players that we've heard of before had teamed up and were actually going against Coolmore. But, you know, it was Coolmore at the end. They were determined. They got in, I think they made a bid at $4.5 million was the first bid they made, and they got her at $5 million. But definitely all the major players that you would think would be on the horse were on the horse. So I think there was some concern going into the January sale, would they all be there? But when you have a filly like that, they're going to be there.
With the roster at Ashford and Coolmore, what suggestions were made regarding a mating?
It's definitely going to be Coolmore Stallion. That's all that
yeah.
they said.
They wasn't worried about the alternative.
Yeah. We asked if she would stay in the United States, and they said that's a possibility. She could also go over to Ireland and be bred to Galileo. So a lot of nice options to have for her. But obviously, yeah, the two Triple Crown winners and Uncle Mo are in the mix, too. So good problem to have for the Coolmore team.
Well, Sid will be with us tomorrow. Sid Fernando. We'll let Sid make a recommendation. Although maybe he'd like to sell
he can
the recommendation.
Pass that along, yeah.
Exactly to the Ballydoyle team. Well, we'll certainly watch with interest how they play it going forward. And I'm just reading, actually, I'm just looking back at your piece, and you and Christy, and of course Christy, fresh off of the eclipse, the media eclipse announcement on Friday, and I'm going to blank on the partner's, on her writing partner's name, Patty Wolf?
Patty Wolf, yes.
There you go. How about that?
They did a great job. And I'd have to say congratulations. You know, in a public forum, I'd like to say congratulations to Christy. Well done.
Absolutely. And it, the funniest part of that to me, which I tweeted, was that her piece was, their piece was on, it was on Cosmic One. And of course, while Cosmic One was being carried by Zenyatta, Glennie Kane Oakford won an eclipse, writing about her. So this is Cosmic One has won twice as many things as he ever won on the racetrack. It's very funny.
All right, I have to look for a Cosmic One story for next year, right?
That's exactly.
That's my task, so I can get an eclipse award. Okay, I'm on it.
This is pretty. It is rather humorous that he's, you know, that he's managed to carry the day for, you know, for two different sets of of eclipse winners. Looking at the rest of the mayor storyline, certainly, you know, Jane Lyon, who really had a chance on Saturday morning to be one of the finalists among the breeders for Eclipse, and we discussed that yesterday with Jay Pribman. She takes home the Galileo, $750,000. Talk about the Hillendale consigned daughter of Galileo with the Warfront in the belly.
Well, that was actually, when we talk about some of the players that aren't there, Jane Lyon actually isn't in Lexington. So she was, had somebody bid on the phone with her, and she got the Galileo mare. It's a 9-year-old mare. And again, those are the young mares who are well covered. This mare is in full to Warfront. Those were very popular. So that's one of the areas that there's a great strength in the market right now, is for those young mares who are well covered. And, Jane Lyon makes a habit of picking up those, so she's got another good one on her hands. It's a full brother, or she's carrying a full to Graded Stakes winner Fleet Review, so that looks good for her. Another wise move from Jane. She's putting together quite the bloodstock with the Broodmare Band.
Very much, and with three stake runners of prominence, you know, this season, and then moving into 2019 with McKenzie and. With Game Winner, it's amazing. And then, of course, she's got the American Pharaoh sister, the Chasing Yesterday, that she's campaigning herself. It'll be interesting. Do we know what she's carrying, Star Is Born? Is the Warfront a filly or a colt? Do we know that?
I did not hear. They didn't make an announcement, so I don't know that they know.
Because that'll be, you know, that also is a storyline. Because if it's a colt, she'll probably sell, and if it's a filly, she'll probably campaign it. So we'll follow that. Fatal Beret, you know, fresh off the racetrack, and $700,000, and looks like she'll head to Japan.
Yeah, she's going to Japan. It's kind of an interesting story that she was in the sale as a late entry, and obviously created a lot of late buzz in the sale. It was kind of good to have her there for the Kekeman folks. We're happy that she was supplemented to the sale.
Who else was involved in these biddings? You know, the two 700,000 plus sellers.
You know what? I couldn't tell you that. I wasn't. I think I had Christy on that one. She's an Eclipse Award winner, so.
That's it. That's the. I respect that. They obviously those three tickets clearly drove the day. And you know, when you have a $5 million record setting type of a performer, the numbers are going to be pretty gaudy. What were the final tallies on the day, and how does it stack up?
Well, the average was up, as you'd expect with a $5 million horse. I think the last year in the first session, the top price was in around $450 or so. So obviously, the $5 million horse is going to drive that average up. The median was down slightly, But I think across the board, it was a pretty strong market yesterday. The weanlings, or short yearlings, sorry, were in demand. There were a lot of pinhookers who were active. So I think across the board, it was a strong session. There's still that selectivity in the marketplace that, you know, the top horses are attracting a lot of attention, and just below that, it gets more difficult. But that's what we've been seeing for years, and that was certainly evident yesterday as well. But I think overall, across the board, it was a strong session.
The let's talk about the babies and that marketplace, because this is always interesting. Some of the early, you know, the early either momentum the coming from the fall, some of the weanlings and now the short yearlings. Give us a snapshot of what you thought was notable yesterday. I did see a Frosted that led the fillies for $300,000. Renee Daly taking that one home, that was bred by Mark Stancil.
Yeah, Renee Daly bought that one for $300,000, and so you would think that's going to be a horse that'll reappear at a sale next in the fall. That's probably a pinhawking prospect. And I thought it was interesting that Peter O'Callaghan, who had so much luck pinhawking with American Pharoah last year, was back in, and he bought an American Pharoah colt, was the second highest priced weanling yesterday. And Jerry Dilger bought an Into Mischief, who was the top price, but for a weanling was $375. So those are all going to be pinhooking prospects.
Some of the other names that caught the eye. You mentioned American Pharoah, and there was that Hurstland for $330 that went to Brady Bloodstock, Warfront.
Yeah, that's Peter O'Callaghan with the American
Pharoah.
Yeah,
there you go. There you go. Mm-hmm. And Exaggerator with a nice little tally, a Hertrick and Fielding bred, Hip 25 for $125,000. I mean, we'll start to watch the, you know, the new sires.
Yeah, I know that there was a big buzz around Run Happy in the fall. In November, it seemed like everybody was on the Run Happies, and he didn't have any yesterday, but I think he's got three or four in today. So that'll be an interesting thing to watch, and Nyquist has a bunch in today as well.
Well, day one in the books, and didn't get a chance to look ahead in the catalog for today. What anything else that we should be watching for?
I think probably the weanlings are going to be more important today than they were yesterday. It seemed like there are a lot of interesting sires in there today. The Cairo Prince has six in today. I mentioned Nyquist, that he's got four in today, and there's a half to the Big Beast that sells today. So it'll be interesting to see if Alex Lieblog is in. He's bought a lot of that family. It seems every year when there's one on offer, he's interested. So it'll be interesting to see if he's in on that yearling today. There's also an Uncle Mo filly out of Zofdig from Eaton Sales.
Mm. And did you know, I noticed in the previews that there were the two stallion prospects, Me and Daddy and DeFunny Bone. Did they go yesterday, or are they coming yet?
They, I think, will be at the end of the session today.
Okay. All right. Well, and I'm just kind of thumbing through today and looking at, you mentioned Nyquist and... There's five of them today, including a couple notable mares. There's the yearling filly out of Princess Haya, and there's also a filly out of VVS Flawless. And who else, Jessica, is represented by their first the other? Yeah,
I think Air Force Blue is in there as well.
Okay.
There are going to be a few in there. I thought it's kind of interesting there in the racehorse prospects. The last horse in the main catalog today, before we get to the supplements, is Heartwood. Is a horse that just finished. I believe he was second in the Gulfstream race. So he's coming off a graded stakes placing. That should be interesting. He's very late in the session. He was third in the Mr. Prospector. So interesting to see how he's a now 5-year-old. Interesting to see how he'll be received in the marketplace.
Didn't he already go through the ring?
No, he's today.
Okay, no, but He came up before the holiday. I'm trying to remember the context. Was it with Rudy Brissett? Who was it that
James Chapman? James Chapman bought him at the 2017 Fasig Tipton sale, the Horses of Racing Age sale.
Okay, then I'm thinking of the because there was another recent stake winner that just sold.
In November. Oh, yesterday was Marzo. Are you talking about Marzo?
No, there was the other one. Okay. There was another that literally, won and spun into the sale in November. And for a second, I was thinking that maybe he was going back through the ring again.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it was. I'm pretty sure it was Rudy Brissett had. The ready-made horse market. That's. This is always an interesting, this and the February Fasig sale, the opportunity to get a ready-made horse. And, there'll be some of the broodmare prospects that'll race on. Was there any chatter yesterday about any of them that might make a few starts before they go to the shed?
All the big ones seem to be definitely retired, so that didn't have none of them stood out that was the plan for any of the ones that I talked to.
Well, we get started again in about a half hour, a little less than a half hour, day two at Keeneland, and thank you, John, my man, Clocker John, Federal Case is who I was thinking of.
Oh, okay.
You remember that Federal Case was the Brissett horse that went through and sold in November. Thank you, John. We got the best audience there is when it comes to resource.
Can we get John out here to Keeneland? Where is he?
Absolutely. Johnny, where are you? Did you go down to New Orleans or to Florida? That's a good question, actually. Where John is spending the winter. I'm curious. Now that you mentioned it, I'm curious myself. Well, Jess, season underway, and we'll be following you and Christy and everybody. Day two of the sale and the season. Boy, once this starts, there's no stopping. We'll roll right into the two-year-old in training sale season after we transfer some more bloodstock here the next 3-4 weeks.
That will be in Florida before you know it for the Gulfstream sale.
Exactly. Absolutely. And March. Are they doing it the same week again as the same timing as I haven't looked at a calendar?
Towards the end of March, maybe the 27th.
Right before Florida Derby.
The week of the Florida Derby. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the. That has worked. The Florida sale kind of floated a little bit, from the Calder days, then up to Ocala for a little bit, and then settled in here at Gulfstream, and this date on the calendar does make sense with people focusing and going down to Gulfstream for Florida Derby week. Well, Jessica, I appreciate it as always, and we hope it's a great 2019 for you and everybody at TDN.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
Not at all. Jessica Martini, it's never too early for a martini when it's Jessica Martini. Back after this, we'll go out somewhere, speaking of New Orleans and fairgrounds, we're going to go, I think, out into the Gulf, because Joe Bravo and David Fox, who never met a fishing pole they didn't like, and they're out somewhere fishing. So we're going to catch up with them before they hit international waters. Joe Bravo and David Fox are going to join us next. Fox, of course, with that very nice seismic jolt from Saturday that won the Limehouse and the Cantheros filly. Want to find out what he's got going there and what the plans are. Tyler Gaffleone was aboard. And, of course, Joe back at Fairgrounds. for a second season. So we'll talk to them. We haven't done this in a while. Gotten them out on an expedition. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Bringing down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Somewhere in South England, when you were fun.
Past 20 before the hour, Andy Serling at the top of the hour. Right now we go out, I think, somewhere in the Gulf of Mexico, if I'm not mistaken. And Joe Bravo and David Fox, who you know, for people that are supposed to work at the racetrack in the mornings, I can't tell you how many times I've called Bravo or Fox, and they're out on a boat somewhere fishing. Do you guys work? What's the story?
See, that is work, isn't it? Fishing's a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
You always call us on Tuesday. You call us on our dark day.
There's no dark day.
We must be the Tuesday people.
I don't get it. I did you have to work any horses this morning, Joe? What's the story?
No. Oh, well, yeah. On Tuesday, if they're working horses, I don't know about that.
All right.
Tuesday's dark day.
All right, you've reached a certain station in life, I guess, at this point. You had, you know, by the way, Congratulations. You had your second best year ever last year. You topped $8 million in earnings for the third time, but just an exceptional year. And that included going to New Orleans and having a great experience at the fairgrounds, riding first call for Mike Stidham.
Yeah, I was really blessed to have some really good people behind us, to be honest. I mean, you can't do this game alone. It's really tough. I'm just glad to have good people to circle us and keep us every year doing this thing. It's great.
Season down there really, you know, starting to roll, and we've got the LeCompte coming up. Talk a little bit about the season, you know, past and what you're excited about for 2019, Joe.
Well, that's the exciting thing about the springtime right now. You're just watching all these two-year-olds trying to graduate into three-year-olds and looking for our next superstar out there. It's a really exciting time of year to spring, and that's what we're doing here at Fairgrounds. But I'm about to wrap it up and try to go to Oaklawn for their 2019 spring meet. I had a couple of good people ask me to go out there and check it out, and I never really spent much time out in Oaklawn before, so I'm really excited about it. They have a pretty good, nice three-year-old program, and it should lead right up to first Saturday of May nicely.
Well, you know, in addition to the plan for the spring and the early winter here, going back and thinking about last year, you know, you were involved with a couple of moments and a couple of horses' performances. Army Mule's effort in the Carter, which was one of the year's best efforts by any horse, and even though she didn't make the finalist group for the Eclipse, Joe, I happen to have voted for Blue Prize as she was my first choice. I thought that, you know, her season deserved some recognition. It didn't happen, but she had a very complete year.
Yeah, she's a special filly with a lot of talent. I'm really excited to hear that she's going to be coming back this year, and Nasha's done a great job by bringing her around, and really excited with a little bit of a winter break that she had. I think she's going to be excited to hit the track again this spring.
Well, you looked and, up and down this...
You see, Army Mule was pretty chilling, wasn't he? Todd
yeah,
was really
was...
excited. Vinny was really excited about the horse ever running in the Cigar Mile that day, and when I walked in the paddock, they kind of told me everything, and that horse really shined that afternoon. But it just shows you how delicate these racehorses are. You got to appreciate every moment that they're out there. You never really know, you know.
Well, and he was literally one of those horses too fast, you know, for his own good. I mean, that's you know, that's a reality that you know, doesn't go away. I mean, when they're as the saying goes, the slow ones don't get hurt.
Exactly. I mean, they're like football players, you know, when they really put it all on the line, they. Injuries that come up, it's a shame. I mean, but that's why you got to appreciate these animals. They're out there fighting and doing the best they can. It's pretty fun.
Well, and of course, I mentioned the association with Stidham. You had a number of pops with Synchrony, who has really been a nice story. Synchrony, five, six stake wins by now.
Yeah, he's going to have a great band campaign last year, and Mike did right by the animal. I got to give a little freshening up, and he should be another one coming back that we're high hopes. And Turf Horse really has a good turn of foot, and Pin Oak has been great with the horse, bringing him around. And, man, he just goes through, shoot through holes nicely. He's a typical turf horse, sit in the pocket, wait, and don't have to worry about it. Go inside, outside, he'll bring you there.
No, and I'm just looking from last year. I didn't realize, just last year alone, the Fairgrounds handicap, the Muniz, the Ocean Port, and the Red Bank. And then he ended the year third in the Seabiscuit.
Right. You got to appreciate a horse that'll just bring the racetrack to him. You don't have to worry about if he's going to handle the course, because he's pretty much handled all of the, every track we went to with him.
Well, and you know, you just got corralled in that Seabiscuit, and of course Caribou Club turned around and came back and won last week for Proctor.
Believe me, I was sitting on the best horse that day. Mike Stidham brought the best horse that afternoon in turf racing. I just had to sit and wait, and there was no place to go. He's an amazing animal, and he proved it down that last eighth of a mile. He was overrunning everybody. What an amazing horse. And just turf racing, you don't ever get clear a lot of times, and it's a shame. I was on the best horse that day.
Well, and you know, Del Mar, how many times have you ridden Del Mar, Joe? Because they all say that, you know, you think about Nakatani and DeSormo and now recently Van Dyke. I mean, there's a little bit of a, it's a little bit of a tricky place to, you know, you got to know exactly and find the lane and launch at the right time.
Yeah, it's a very small, short stretch down there. It's not like you have, like, the fairgrounds stretch that you can go and get them a quarter mile. To tell you the truth, it's kind of funny. That Del Mar course is pretty much like a turf course of Monmouth Park. Very small, very tight, and, man, it's a solid course. I mean, they get a hold of it nicely, so you got to know how to time everything. And I rode out there before in the past and everything, so, you know, and we try to do our homework.
Well, looking forward, Joe, and we'll see you either at Oaklawn, you know, later, as late as April, or otherwise, you know, somewhere on a big Saturday with a horse or two that you're following, look forward to it. Best luck going forward this year.
Talking about that, I'm so excited. What about coming up January 26th, Pegasus Day? How great is that race going to be? I'm so thankful Karen and Calumet is keeping me on True Timber, but that should be a really fun afternoon. It's, when do you get to run for that much money with that many good horses at a course that I think he'll handle it?
Well, and you know, True Timber is going to come in there and be one of the longer prices, but certainly on the form basis, Joe, I mean, that was a tremendous effort last time and kind of launched him in to this opportunity.
Karen's just slowly starting to stretch this horse out. He ran in a flat mile last time, and I just think he's going to thrive on the more distance. The younger horse, he was kind of always on the pace and close in the sprints. Now he's starting to learn the horse. He's sitting back a little bit and using himself late in the race, and I think he's going to love the distance.
Did you ride him earlier in the year too with the Bold Ruler and such?
No, I only rode him his last couple starts. The race before was really eye-opening when he ran second. He was down on the inside, and he didn't really seem like he liked it, and he backed all the way up to last place. And from turning from last to finish second that day shows to me that he's just really going to handle the distance. You have to go back and watch that replay. It's two starts back. It's pretty eye-opening.
Well, the effort in the Cigar Mile was absolutely the real thing, and you know, he chased pattern recognition home and certainly deserved this, you know, this opportunity. So I'm glad you brought that up, why not True Timber?
Not just because I'm on him, but I think it's a horse that everybody's going to be thrilled to watch.
No, I won't argue at all. Well, let me get David Fox in here as well. And who else is with you guys? Are you guys out there?
A couple of local friends down here in New Orleans. They're going to show us what Big Redfish is all about today. So we're
nice.
Out there now.
Excellent. Excellent. Let me say hello to David Fox. And
good morning.
David, boy, this is a pretty nice lifestyle.
We do work, trust me.
I know you.
Every once in a while, you got to take a day off.
I don't blame you. And you know, you went to New Orleans to enjoy the.
I had a light week coming up. Not a lot of runners, so I snuck out for a couple days. I'm just here for 3 days, and I'm back home, back to work Thursday morning.
Very nice, very nice. Well, you certainly left town with a smile on your face. Seismic Jolt wins that Limehouse on Saturday with Tyler Gaffleone, and feels like she's a filly that's going places.
Yeah, he's a nice baby. You know, they spent a lot of money on him, and he was a little disappointing in his first start. If you look on the dam side, there's a lot of turf there, and then being by Cantharos, you know, you would have to think he would turf, but unfortunately he seems to like the dirt a little better. We had an opportunity to try him on the dirt, and boy, he certainly shined, and then, you know, nice progression forward to last Saturday's race. You know, I thought he moved up a lot. I mean, he got a real good Byron number, you know, but he's made nice, you know, consistent progressions. No big jump.
It's true, actually. Even with those two turf sprints that started the career, 54, then a 68, 73, and now an 86. And out of a Concord's tune mare, I mean, you get the sense that this is a colt that, you know, wants to stay short. But talk a little bit about, you know, what you saw, because he doesn't feel like when you watch him run, at least on Saturday, it didn't feel like he has to have the lead at all.
No, that's the nice thing about this horse. He likes to be kind of, you know, let him get his feet underneath him and gather him up. And I think that was his, you know, honestly was maybe the downfall in his turf races, was he doesn't like to be, you know, shoved down a lot leaving the gate. So when he broke his maiden, he did it so easy because Tyler made the lead easy. He just reached up and grabbed him and just held them together. And he kind of likes that. And the other day, you know, when they broke, he broke excellent, but a couple horses out sprinting him a little on the inside, and Tyler didn't panic. He just sat there, held them together, and coming into the 3/8 pole, he felt himself a little wide, so he just nudged the horse a little bit, and man, he put himself right on the lead right away, and off he went.
Well, it wins by really now. You look at both the maiden win and this win is open lengths. And how quickly will you look to graded opportunities with him?
I think we're going to look at the swale. I nominated for the swale, so and that's a little, you know, another step in distance at 7/8. So I'd like to come back and win that race. I won it with big drama.
Sure. Nice. I mentioned Cantheros. This was an Ocala stud product originally, and you know, certainly when you look at the partnership involved and the price, I mean, this is really one of those horses that helped get Cantheros move from Florida up to Kentucky.
Right. He had so much business in Florida. I think Barbara thought, you know, he would do great in Kentucky, and you know, Stone Street's done a great job with him as far as his stud career goes. So, you know, I think, he'll get any kind of mare he wants. He is a very nice horse. And, you know, I'm blessed to be able to train this horse.
Well, Seismic Jolt for Bob Edwards and Stone Street partnered up, and they're making a habit now of getting together with some good horses. And we'll watch for Seismic Jolt for the swale. You also had Louder Than Bombs in the Kitten's Joy on Saturday. Got a check.
Yeah, he ran really good. You know, it's a little too short for him. That horse, he'd be a little happier breaking, just sitting back and making one run. You know, and because that track has been kind of speed biased on the turf, you know, I asked Paco to, you know, be more in the race. And he did as I asked, but you know, I kind of think that the horse flattened out just a little bit down the lane.
Well, and, you know, he only got beat a couple of lengths for everything.
No, I was thrilled. I thought the horse ran a good, he ran a very good race. You know, if we ever get an opportunity to stretch him out at, you know, like a mile and eighth, I think he's going to be a little better colt.
Well, David, looking at the numbers and going back to last year a little bit, you're 44 wins away from 1,000. So there's going to be a watch that's going to pick up later in the year. People will be counting down for you, and probably about October, November.
Yeah, let's hope it's sooner. Later.
Right. Well, I don't. Yeah, I hear
we
that.
We had a great. We had a really fun year this year. We got a chance to win a bunch of little stakes, so we had a great year. We're thrilled with the barn.
A couple of the 3-year olds that be back soon, and any unraced 3-year olds yet that we haven't seen.
No, not really. You know, I'm waiting again. Here we go. Waiting for the babies to come in. It's baby time again. So, you know, always, you know, a good future when you have a bunch of those in the barn.
What about that Avenida Manana?
Avenida Manana. I entered an allowance race coming up, And honestly, I didn't check the entries yet to see if she got in, but she's a nice baby. She really is a nice three-year-old. She really is. And she last time she ran, she got an excellent break. And she's going to be a really nice baby also. She's also owned by Sandra New, who owns Louder Than Bombs.
Well, and this is a street boss filly.
They have two nice young horses with me.
Well, and let's go back, in fact, to the Sugar Swirl Surprise Wedding. What's next for Surprise Wedding?
You know, we're actually looking maybe at the Barbara Freshie, I think it is, at in Maryland.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, probably. And that may be her last race. You know, it's about time for her to, you know, get turned out and be a broodmare. So, but she's, you know, she's been really good to me. I wasn't crazy about what happened in that race. She's not the kind of horse that wants to be on the lead, and she jumped so good out of the gate, the boy didn't want to take it away from her. So, you know, I think she kind of flattened out a little down the lane, but she came out of it really good, and that's probably where we're looking at next.
And I got to ask you, too, about the Sandpiper try. Lovesick was put in a position of chasing Fashion Faux Pas and ended up just chasing her around.
Yeah, that Fashion, she's a nice filly. I got to give the guy a lot of credit, and it's a nice horse. But, you know, my filly, both Paco came back. He rode her, and he rode Flor de Fuego, and he felt neither horse liked the track. She's, you know, with that, it had so much rain. It was really disappointing. You know, I got the opportunity to sit with Stella Thayer most of the day, and they were pretty disappointed in the weather. It was a rough day for everybody. And they had so much rain coming into the race and into the races that day. I mean, they had like 7 inches of rain. It was just crazy. So a lot of horses didn't handle it, but, you know, the filly that beat us, you know, she's very, very nice.
And I got to ask you, too, before I let you go, Galleon Mast, who seems like the gelding is as good as ever, maybe better than ever.
He really is. He ran such a big race at Calder, the GP West. So, you know, he was kind of coming due for a break. It'd been a while since he'd been off. So we thought that'd be a really good time to give him just a little vacation, you know, freshen him up. So he may not be back until the spring, but, you know, he gives you 110% every time, you know. And you know, the only thing that makes him a little tough to deal with is he's got to be time perfect every time. You know, if you make the lead too soon, he thinks he won, and he's ready to go get his bath.
I love it. Well, he had a hell of a year last year, and is well past over $500,000 in earnings.
Yes. Now he's been a great horse to me, and the clients they're wonderful people, and they've left me alone with him, and you know, do whatever you want, and when it's time for vacation, they say, okay, let's do it. So they're, you know, great people.
Well, and then the most important question: how about Natalie? Just had a birthday.
I knew that was coming. Now she's doing great. You know, she's got about 8 right now. She's in my barn. At the other end, we had a boot poor Scooter Dickey out, and but she's got a few nice little horses down there. She's gonna have a really good summer. You know, this meet right now, it's a little tough, but, you know, she's got, you know, Mike Francesa's got a horse with her, you know, and she's got a few good clients. Dan Renew's got horses with her, and she's got a bright future.
Well, I saw she was in the show ring the other day. I saw a video of her with her show
horse. Well, there's me fishing and it's her showing.
That's you. No flies on you guys. Well, David, bring me to pull a few in and have fun, and we'll see you, I'm sure, soon. Hope it's a great year for you and Natalie and everybody in the barn, and thank Joe as well.
Thank you. Thanks, Steve. Have a good day.
David Fox, everybody, and you can follow David and Bravo Ace on Twitter. They're both available to you if you haven't. Bravo Ace is Joe, and Fox Racing, Fox Racing Inc., INC, to follow David. Following David and Joe Bravo, Andy Serling. We'll get Andy in here. Join us next, second hour at the races.
latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
There are places where being who you are is a punishable offense. These places have many names, but the ones who flee have one. Refugee. And it is in the name of the refugee that Hyas has dedicated itself for the last 130 years. Created in the name of the Jewish people, 4.5 million rescued and resettled so far. When they said, "Give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free," we were the ones at the docks helping them breathe free. Only now it's a farmer from Darfur, a shop owner from Syria, a family from Ukraine, a child from Colombia, a Christian from Iran, a gay man from Uganda. The 65 million souls who still wander the earth in search of sanctuary. Why? Maybe it's because being Jewish means you don't have to be reminded never to forget. Hyas, for the refugee.
Visit HIAS.org to understand the mission and support the work of Hyas.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.